that girl.
Yeah, she's getting old. Like, I mean, it was all we did. And Freddie moved.
He from LA?
No, he's from El Paso.
Okay.
El Paso.
Yeah, El Paso.
So he's from El Paso and right on the border there. Like, I remember unfortunately, when he passed, we went to El Paso. And I was like, oh my God, every fucking thing. I remember sitting in his parents' house and I see that fucking wiener schnitzel, and that's where he worked when he was a kid. And I was like, ugh. And then the fence, like, you know, cutting off, because they would sneak to Juarez. And you know what I mean?
Right.
That was their thing as kids.
Yeah.
So he was right, they were right there. You know?
Right on it.
Right on the border. And so it was just, it was awful. And amazing at the same time. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, because it's like everything you hear about that we wanted to experience, like, you know, go there, hang out.
Yeah.
Like, they got married in New Orleans.
Yeah.
So their family came there, which was insane.
Yeah.
To have the Mexicans with the New Orleans
people. Yeah. Mexicans
tremendous.
And Cajuns. That's what you need together.
Amazing. I woke up in the back of a pickup truck. I didn't even know where I was. My friend was eating a burrito crying.
Oh, my God. That's so funny.
So good. But wait, you are recording, right?
Yeah.
Oh, good, good, good. All right. Okay. So let's stop talking about crazy shit. When did you start doing stand-up?
I started 10 years ago.
10.
I've been doing 10 years ago.
Okay.
I started late. I started at 30.
I'm with you. I started late.
I started at 30. I'm 40 now.
Amazing.
Yeah, I started at 30. I just had shit jobs. And you know what? So I was telling this the other day. I wanted to start when I was younger.
Yeah.
But I remember I told a girlfriend when I was 25 that I wanted to start.
Yeah.
And she went, oh, that's embarrassing. And I went, and you know what I said? I said, you're right. And then I didn't start.
That's
for
so funny.
I was so in love with her. She was like hot, you know?
But also, people are mean, especially at that age. Like, I remember like wanting to move here.
Yeah.
And I was like, I want to be an actress.
Yeah.
Like, I had no interest in comedy. And then they would go, what do you think? You're better than us. And I was like, oh, no, I never thought of that. I mean, but yes. The answer is yes. But it's not like they get nervous. She's right. Like, oh, aren't you embarrassed to do that?
Yeah, she was like, that's embarrassing.
Yeah.
She was just like, and then I go, you think so? She goes, yeah, you're just going to go up there and tell jokes? Like, that's embarrassing. And I went, I just remember going, yeah, you're right. And I stayed in that miserable-ass relationship for a few more years.
Oh,
yeah.
And then
I was just like, why didn't I? But yeah,
glad you got out.
Yeah, I'm glad I got out.
Because because then we wouldn't have you.
Yeah,
like in the comedy world. But what? So you wanted to get into it? You had all these shitty jobs. What were your shitty jobs?
Oh shit! I used to work as a valet driver. I used to work as a janitor. I worked at warehouses, unloading trucks.
Oh, they are shitty jobs.
Yeah, I work construction for.
You can make good money, but
yeah, but just shitty jobs, and then. I worked like I was telling you earlier, like three jobs to have one good job paid
right,
me.
Right, right, right.
And then it wasn't until around the time I was 30, I knew the relationship I was in was coming to an end.
Okay.
And then I got fired from my nighttime job. I used to do valet at the Beverly Hilton.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I got, so my nights were free because I only worked at night. So then I found myself like not having the shit to do at night. So I thought I could get another job. Or, fuck, maybe I'll just go do stand-up. And then I went and started stand-up.
You're just like, fuck, I better go do stand-up.
Yeah, I remember I was like, oh, shit, I'm 30. I better do this now. Like, I go...
Wow.
Not with the sense of, like, I'm...
No, but you grew up in
career.
LA. It was just, were you acting or anything like that?
No, nothing.
Nothing.
I wanted to be a writer, but I didn't know how to be a writer. I was like...
Meaning you didn't know how to start.
I didn't know how to start. It seemed impenetrable. I also didn't... I mean,
it's a great
felt like
word.
I'm learning, but I didn't go to college. You know, I didn't, like, I'm not a college graduate. I didn't know, like, I was teaching myself how to write scripts and all that, but I just didn't know. I was like, it seems like you need internships from a school, and then you need to know.
Yeah, you're overthinker.
I overthought, overthink everything. That's why
Same.
I started at 30.
Me too.
So it was a fucking nightmare, but I then got fired, and then I was just like, you know what? Let me just do this now, because if I don't, another 5 years are going to pass.
Yeah.
And then I'm just going to be like, I wasn't even going with like, I'm going to start now because I need to make it now. I just started because I thought more time is going to pass and I'm going to regret not trying it.
Right, right.
I just went to a mic. I started here in LA, went to a mic, and I think my first mic was in South Central.
Okay, because that's the beauty of LA. There are mics everywhere. But you like wasn't like you weren't like, oh, I got to get in the major clubs. You were like, let me just go.
No, just mics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's respectful.
My self-esteem was too low to ever.
Yeah.
What up, Rick?
Hi, Rick. Yeah. How are you?
Good. I just came from a club, not the improv for sure. I don't want anyone taking that.
What is this, 1970s?
It was not.
1976. No, I might get banned for a year.
Sorry, yeah. I'll tell Mitzi you are fine. He's fine, Mitzi.
Mitzi, I'm still now at 7 spots over 20 years, so that's not...
Wait, we were just—he just said something so respectful, like that.
Oh, that's weird.
I know, like starting in comedy, he was doing mics.
I never came to clubs.
Not clubs.
Yeah, like, I didn't come here till I was.
You know how
2 years
the open
in.
Micers come here and they're like, "Oh, hello, I was hilarious down the street at the bar. Yeah. I should get everything."
Yeah, I was. There's a lot of people here that came for the open mic and never left the open mic.
Oh, that's, I believe it. I've seen them.
Like, they get
I've seen them.
I know
them. They get that attitude where they're like, but I'm like kind of the one that always gets a spot. Like, but it's an open mic.
Yeah.
And you've been here for 14 years.
Yeah. Comedy is so heartbreaking.
I remember Sebastian talking about it once. Dude, he was just like, I know that guy. He's just looking out the window on the front patio. I know that guy. He's still alive.
The open mic comedians, ghosts of Christmas past.
Sure.
You know? Mm-hmm. But comedy, so it just makes me laugh. As much as I love doing it, I don't take it that serious. So it always makes me laugh at how pathetic comedy can be.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I remember when I was like a year or two in, I was doing an open mic at Unurban in Santa Monica.
Yeah, yeah, I
remember
that spot.
Cafe. But apparently Freddie Soto used to run a mic
there.
Yeah, so I was doing a mic there. And 2 years in, and there with all my friends, all the comics I started out with, and there's a guy, an old man, who's watching the mic. And I go, oh, that's cool. Somebody's paying attention. A few minutes pass, and I look, and he opened up his laptop, and he had headphones on. And then I said, what is he watching? And I went over there. He was watching a comedy special on Netflix. So what kills me is I just go, he saw us and was like, you know what? I want to see the real version.
Yeah, I do like comedy, but...
This isn't what I was
thinking. There's got to be something. Yeah. I don't think this is what I thought it would be.
The blender going off during his entire bit at the Unurban. Yeah, they were always
the
like
blender,
a coffee.
Yeah, always a coffee.
Something going off.
I remember one time I was at a show. I was like a few years in at a show over in like West LA, like off of Motor and Overland.
Okay.
There.
Yeah, yeah.
The place called Broadway 21. Somebody was on stage and this guy walks in. And he went, fuck, it's comedy night? And he turns around. He turns around, and you don't see his friends. I guess they were following behind him.
Yeah.
He went, no. It's not karaoke night. It's comedy night. And you heard a collective, fuck. And then it killed me. It's just like,
dude,
that shit makes me laugh so much.
So many of those gigs, you're just like, this dude Berger used to run this show in Lancaster.
Yeah, with the ponytails.
I
know him.
Yeah. He used to be my booking agent, it felt like. He got me tons of gigs.
He built up the show in Lancaster, and he's like, a little bit of a drive, but it's at a steakhouse.
It was great.
I'm just like, all right. So I drive up there. My buddy wants to see, I want to see what, like, doing comedy out of the clubs is like. I'm like, all right.
Yeah.
He's like a musician. So we drive up there, and there's like, 5 people in this steakhouse all sitting at the bar watching college football or whatever. And the guy's, all right, so we're going to start the comedy show. And it's literally every person at the bar just goes, fuck.
I love kills me. My buddy, Devin Costa, he used to do comedy. He has a podcast now. He had the funniest tweet years ago. He wrote, open mic comedians are bar and grill terrorists.
That makes perfect sense.
Cafes.
That's true. Like,
they can ruin so many different places.
It just kills me.
Laundromats.
Yeah. A laundromat was
like,
a big one.
I remember doing a laundromat once.
Yeah. I did
in
one
the
in
valley?
San Francisco. They did one in San Francisco.
This one was like East Hollywood.
Oh, interesting.
And it was probably 18 years ago or something, but I remember the guy telling me, dude, it's a pretty good room for working on material. I'm like, all right. And there was like 8 people doing laundry, and they literally were looking around like, do these people know where this is a laundry mat?
Oh, my God.
Like, there's not chairs set up. It was just no microphone.
Unsuspecting.
Just standing on one end of a fucking laundromat doing jokes to people who are like, we just want to clean our clothes.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Didn't Adam Hunter have that show called Kamikaze Comedy or something where you would go into a laundromat?
Yeah, I saw his clips of that.
Or you would go into a bus.
You would like ambush people with comedy.
Yeah, yeah. It's just like, I was like, that is what we were doing. Yeah. But that's exactly what we were doing.
Every person now, when they see the man on the street guy walking up, is just like,
fuck this guy. It just kills me. Comedy's so
sad.
It's so sad. It makes me laugh how sad it is.
It's all sad girl.
It's all sad girl. We were like, it just kills me. I just, it's so bad.
How old were you when you started?
I was telling you, I started late. I'm 40, so I started at 30.
Okay.
I've been doing it 10 years, and I started at 30.
He said he was going to start when he was 25, but his girlfriend was like, it's embarrassing.
Yeah. I told my girlfriend at the time, I was 25, and I was like, this was kind of post, like, Tough Crowd, and I was really into, like, comics. Like,
oh, Tough Crowd was a great show.
I loved, like, Colin Quinn, and Greg Giraldo and Dave Attell were amazing. Some of my favorites, and, like, I just loved, like, that. And I was like, I should do that. And I told my girlfriend, I go, I'm thinking about starting comedy. I'm like, maybe going to an open mic. And she went, oh, that's embarrassing. And then you know what I did? I listened to her. Damn. And I didn't start for another 5 years.
Damn. Did you break up with her before?
Eventually. Yeah. I mean, we broke up.
And then you were like, you know what? Maybe I could do comedy after all.
She was just like, she was really gorgeous.
She's embarrassing.
Oh, yeah. That'll do it.
That'll do it. That you was enough.
Sure. Yeah, you don't want to embarrass a gorgeous chick.
No, yeah.
Because then she has a reason to not fuck you anymore. Yeah. And that's terrible.
And I was holding on to dear life for that.
Yeah.
Holding on for dear life.
I get it.
Where I was just like, I think this is the first 10 I ever dated. But you hold on. You don't care if they treat you like shit.
Like, are you just dressing up like a doctor now? You're like, I'm just going to try and get a job. I don't know. You got to keep you.
You hold on to your first 10 no matter what. You hold on.
That's great.
Yeah, you wait until you fuck that up naturally.
Yeah.
Then you hit rock bottom and start comedy.
And then you start comedy.
That's how it works.
Yeah. I was valeting at the Beverly Hilton. I had like 3 jobs, but my nighttime job was the valet job at the Beverly Hilton. We got let go of, and I didn't have a nighttime job anymore. So I was like, maybe I'll pick up another nighttime job. Oh, fuck, I should just start comedy. So then I started open mics.
How long were you doing the mics before you decided to come inland to the clubs? Outland, whatever, flappers, shit.
I told myself I would do flappers. I would fucking do right away. I don't give a shit.
I don't respect it. I'm just bringing it up.
I actually have a joke with the door guys here, that because some of the door guys are friends of mine, like dear friends I came up with. But we have this joke where I go, you know how they have the hat trick here?
Oh, yeah.
I say I'm more of a flappy guy, which means I do flappers main room, then I do the Yoo-hoo room, and then I end the night by paying to do the open mic.
Oh, shit.
It's coveted. Coveted.
That's so perfect.
It's so hard to be able to survive all three.
No. Flappy. But I think I came here maybe like, I waited 2 years.
Okay.
Two, maybe three.
That's good.
I came to the, because I just thought, early on when I started, I go, I'll probably do this for like 2-3 years before I even go outside of like, before I go to San Francisco and try to do shows and stuff like that.
Right.
So yeah, just trying to grind it out here. But I would go everywhere. I would go to like, I would do the LA mics. I would go down to, I would do the Latino rooms, the Black rooms. And then I would go to Orange County and do the mics there. Sure. I'd go to the Valley and do the mics. And occasionally, me and a few buddies would drive down to San Diego. Mm-hmm. And do like the mics down there.
There's always rooms down there where you could at least make money.
Yeah.
So that was
$50 or whatever.
Yeah, but if three of you is getting a car.
Yeah.
I like that you were like, before I drove to San Francisco, to me, it's the funniest thing in the world is when you see someone who's clearly been doing comedy for 8 months and they're like doing a pretty big run of shows up north.
Oh, yeah. That's always like,
oh, man, this poor guy.
That's what I mean. Disrespectful. Yeah. It's ridiculous.
What I find offensive about it is that means that they're still such not a comedian that they have so many friends that they think people are going to come out.
Yeah.
You're not really a comedian until you no longer have enough friends to come see your show.
Right. Once I started losing all my friends.
They're like, hey, man, we've already seen
you. Very important to the comedy growth.
No, it's true. It's once I had a woman break up with me, like, a year into it because she said, oh, you're like really gonna, you're
keep
really
doing this.
Doing this.
Yeah.
You know? And I never invited her. I go, you don't want to go to these open mics. It's not like, you know.
It is embarrassing.
This isn't classic.
It's embarrassing.
Really is.
From our perspective, it's embarrassing. Not her perspective.
Yeah. So, you know, but I also just function that on like, I should learn how to write a joke before I go out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Or learn how to just be comfortable on stage.
Yeah. That was always my thing. I like when I was doing open mics, I would meet, like, I would have buddies or just people hanging outside an open mic, and they would talk about like, what would you name your special? And I was always like, that's so far ahead of me that I'm trying to learn how to do 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, I'm trying not to bomb my dick off at three minutes.
Yeah.
You're like, I have 3 minutes. I have two names.
I should set my brand right now before I get into comedy. Like, really?
Yeah. I was like,
what is your brand?
I'm still going to figure it out someday.
Yeah.
Do you have a brand?
No, I'm still trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
I think that's the best kind of comedy.
I feel like some big exec from one of these movie studios is
they're
probably going to come and tell me what my brand is.
Yeah, they'll tell you.
Sign me a 5-year movie contract down at RKO. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. My mentality is more old school. Yeah. So.
Rick has had people try to brand him, if you will. Like, Jamie wanted you to be the Jamie Masada from the Laugh Factory. Wanted you to be, what, the white boy with the backwards hat?
He just felt that my comedy would be a lot funnier if my hat was sideways.
There you go.
So you twist the baseball hat sideways. Yeah. Same jokes. Much funnier.
Well, it would be funny is if when you do your punchline, that's when you move it over.
Slide it. All right. Now there's choreography that adds an element where like, this guy is working it out.
He knows what's happening.
That's a device. Yeah. You know, that's a device. Yeah.
Maybe
Jamie just wasn't clear with
his
intentions.
Got it.
But he
that's
had a
what
vision.
He bet. Yeah.
And then he also... Someone was introducing me to him, trying to be like, hey, you remember Rick? You gave him spots for a while. Yeah. And then he goes, oh, if you like white trash guys, to the guy I was with him, I was like, all right. But it wasn't until years later that I drove all the way down to the Long Beach Laugh Factory.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
That they bumped me by a guy who was an open micer here.
It was terrific.
And I vowed never to perform at the Laugh Factory ever again. And what's weird is they haven't asked about me not sending in my avails, but we'll show them. You hear me, Laugh Factory? It's over.
We'll show you. I love the Laugh Factory.
It's going to be old-timey movie with the spinning newspaper. Yeah. Rick Ingram still holds grudge.
still refusing to do the spots they don't give him.
Has anybody ever done that to you? Like, hey, maybe if you did this.
No, some people were like, sometimes people won't tell me this. It wasn't early on, but sometimes people would be like, you should do comedy in Spanish because then you can open up your audience even more. And I'm fluent, but I was also like, I was also a few years in, but I was also like, God, I'm still trying to be funny in English.
Yeah. And it's hard to translate.
Yeah, to translate.
Jokes. It absolutely.
I mean, you talk to Jesus Trejo, he does comedy in Spanish.
He's
done a few spots in Mexico and, you know, like in Guadalajara, Mexico City, Monterey. So, but, you know, I was always like, I'm still trying to get good at this.
One at a time.
It took Jesus a minute. It was hard to make that transition.
Yeah.
But yeah, he went there and was like, I'm going to do it in Mexico. And I was like, really? I was so proud of him.
Because
Freddie Soto was on tour with Mark Anthony.
Whoa.
And they were going to Puerto Rico or somewhere like that. Like, and Freddie was like, I can't do my jokes in Spanish, you know? He's a coconut. But he could do it a little, he could get himself out of situations. Right. Definitely.
Yeah.
He was in that movie.
Yeah.
Anyway.
He was in that movie.
Oh, was it?
That's the first thing I'm like, oh, wait. That's the guy we're talking about.
But he had to get off the tour because he wasn't going to be able to translate his jokes. It would be impossible.
Yeah. It doesn't translate.
It was too hard to figure it out. And even he was like, his parents are fluent.
Yeah.
And he was going over it with that. And it was just like not making sense to him the way he was.
Yeah, it just doesn't.
So he just didn't do it.
Yeah.
But it sucked. If he had that, he could have, on tour with him for a long
time. Yeah. I never had a branding thing, though. I was always just concerned with like,
Smart.
Just like, I just fucking try to get 3 minutes, then get five. Then, like, I always looked at it as, like, incremental.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I just said, all right.
Yeah.
You know, I guess I mean bad advice.
Bad advice. Yeah. I mean, I got bad advice of, like, don't cuss.
Oh, everybody tells that to me.
I think.
Especially 10 years ago and earlier when television still mattered in terms of like doing comedy.
Be careful of the cursing. People be
like, well, they're not going to put you on Tonight Show. And I'd be like,
fuck you.
Hold on. You think they're going to put me on the Tonight Show? Yeah. If I do what I do without cursing, you think that's going to fly? But that is one of those
I'd
things.
Like to
it's
see
like
that.
An old school thing that people say.
Yeah.
They'll be like, well, if everyone's so dirty now, you're like,
well, if you really want to make it, you probably shouldn't curse. So I'm like,
I think the hard part is when you're sometimes I feel like I have a hard time because I'm not super clean, but I'm not super dirty.
Right.
You know, when you fall right in the middle.
Can't do the blue show.
Yeah, but you can't do the clean show either.
This is my acting career. Every acting audition I go to, everyone's way better looking than me or the ugliest human beings that ever lived. And I'm like, am I in this category? Fuck.
Which one
am I? It's like when somebody tells you you look like someone and then you see that someone. Yeah. You're like, that's who you think I fucking look like?
God damn it.
Jeez, I feel awful about myself.
Dude, and since it's the Christmas season, I'll say this. Black people, they brought it back this year. They told me I look like the Grinch. And they say it in a way like, oh, he's going to like knowing this.
Yeah.
And every time I'm just like,
he's going to love it. Yeah. This is going to make him happy.
You ruin Christmas every year.
Oh, my God.
I thought they meant just by seeing your little black heart.
They know it.
God bless them. They always find a way to like,
cut you.
But like, and love you at the same time.
Yeah, yeah.
I grew up in South Central, so there was like, you know, it's a Latino and black neighborhood. I remember growing up, like, you know, I had acne. So the black dudes in my neighborhood would call me Pizza Face. And it always used to bother me. But one time somebody was picking on me and they're like, yo, leave Pizza Face alone.
I have two friends named Pizza Face.
Damn.
Philadelphia.
Such a good insult.
That's so mean.
The 1900s.
I feel they even great when they're just like, yo, leave them alone. That's Pizza Face.
Yeah, yeah. They know you, though. Yeah,
that's our guy insult.
Yeah, that's good. They liked you.
Yeah.
They made you feel like you're part of them.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad. I never got.
So we were talking about writing, and you said you felt like you had to like learn a certain way, like go to school, if you will, for it.
Because I wanted to be a writer also, but I didn't, you know, I didn't go to college. And
but obviously you figured it out.
I figured it out because I just bought books and then I just started like writing stuff on my own. So I was just like, all right, I think I have an understanding of what like writing is. And I would like sit down and like watch like The Office and break it down in acts.
Yeah, you went way white. Okay.
Yeah, so I taught myself that way, like being like, all right,
structurally, structurally. That's kind of how you do it.
Yeah, and then
because
like,
your show, This Fool, you wrote as well, right?
Yeah,
that's incredible.
Right. I wrote it with the guy that you probably know. I don't know if you guys remember Jake Weissman? He used to come here a lot. Yeah, he co-created the show with me, him and his two other buddies. Oh,
okay. I remember his name.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to.
Really sweet guy. He got passed here. He had a show, him and his buddy had a show on Comedy Central called Corporate.
Yeah.
And then.
Remember that?
Yeah. He got passed here, his name on the wall. And then, like, a year later, he stopped doing stand up.
Yeah. That happens so often.
Yeah.
That really is the scene. You're like, I've finally done it. Yeah. And then you realize that means I don't have to come here anymore.
Yeah.
So many comics.
Yeah.
They're like, all right, I got what I needed.
Yeah. But he's a. But, you know, I taught myself like that. But I didn't go to college. So for the longest, I remember I wanted to write. But then I was like, but you know what? I'll do stand-up because there's an immediacy to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you do.
Immediate gratification.
Yeah. You can even write that day.
Or
and then go up at night. And,
yeah, yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Try it out.
Yeah.
You can go feel bad that day.
Oh, yeah.
About your decisions. This is going to work.
I have fitted myself for a noose quite often.
One time, this was like 5 years ago, I bombed on the show so badly. It was in downtown. It was a rooftop show that I drove to the beach to think about my life.
Figure it out.
Just sit and meditate.
A little palate cleanser. What am I fucking doing?
I drove at night over to like Playa del Rey, and I just smoked a cigarette and thought about my life. Like, the fuck am I doing?
Oh, a cigarette.
To go downtown. To bomb downtown.
To bomb downtown.
On a rooftop.
Is
that during pandemic?
Yeah. No, it was before.
Before that.
Before.
Okay.
There wasn't even an excuse for open air comedy.
Right. Yeah.
And I followed like Well, the worst is I followed a really good comic who I just crushed.
Yeah.
And then I went up and I bombed. And then I go, well, maybe just the crowd's not feeling it after me. But then a really great comic went after me and then murdered. And then I was like, all right, then it's just me.
They just didn't like me.
And, yeah. Or like a comic that's not that great goes up and crushes. You're oh, fuck me.
That's it.
That's when you drive your car in the ocean.
Into the ocean.
Like you don't even... You don't even, you're not thinking about anything. Yeah.
Right off of it.
Swerving in. Yeah.
A real Thelma and Louise. Yeah.
I mean, it's a lot sadder because you splash pretty quick, but you still have that moment when you hold hands.
You don't have a friend.
No.
It's just you pretending. Jesus. Yeah, holding hands. Holy shit.
Terrifying.
Yeah. But I felt that quite often.
I when I moved to L.A., I moved to Manhattan Beach because I didn't realize how big L.A. is.
Oh,
wow. I was just like, yeah, it's part of L.A.
And it is.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, and it's a gorgeous part of L.A.
L.A. is gigantic.
Loved it. It was great. But then anytime I needed to do anything or come do comedy, it would take me an hour and 30 minutes. And I'm like, man, this is kind of far.
Yeah.
But I would come do shows, and they were always shitty.
Yeah.
And it was like I'd go bomb at 4 open mics. Do a total of 8 minutes.
Yeah.
And then I would drive home, and before I could go home, I would just have to go sit on the beach and be like, fuck, this isn't good.
this
isn't good at all.
It cracks me up when it happens to me now. Like the other day, I just got past here, and a few weeks ago, I was doing a set in the OR, and I'm still figuring that room out. You know,
it's tough,
it's a tough room, and it feels so like they could see through you if you're too rehearsed. And I just had this bomb that I must have looked shell shocked afterwards because Kurt Fox came up to me and he goes, hey, you okay, buddy? And then he took me out to the lot and just had a talk with me. He goes, hey, you know, slow down. Like,
it was just, you're fine. Yeah. This is what that room does to you.
Kurt gets it.
But I remember just being like, it was the one night where I go, should I be doing this?
I remember Kirk going up, and this is the dark days where there was no one here.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So I remember his showcase.
He would go up for like, he probably went up for like 8 people at like 12:30 at night. And it was just silence, just low energy. And the crowd had already seen a bunch of bullshit.
Yeah.
And he got off stage and I go, how is it in there? And he goes, not bad, I crushed. And I literally just remember being like, I think I got the wrong mentality for this. Yeah. I'm like, that was crushing?
Yeah.
They listened. I'm like, they listened?
Yeah.
Is that what we're supposed to be doing?
But sometimes you got to lie to yourself, though, to get through it.
I just imagine, he goes, look, maybe they didn't laugh, but I touched their hearts.
They felt it.
I really made people feel in there. Yeah.
They definitely felt me.
I still get off stage, and I'm like, that wasn't that good, no matter what.
He felt heard, Rick.
People were not. He was heard. He was heard before being heard was a thing.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's that room is sometimes absolutely horrifying, but it does take a long time to master it.
Yeah,
and then even then, it's gonna fuck with you again.
Oh yeah,
it's gonna come back. Yeah. I bombed in there a lot. The main room I bomb in the most.
Yeah,
sorry, I should probably say that. Out loud, no, I crushed. Oh,
she kills. I mean, standing ovation last night. I saw.
They were listening. The main room. They crushed.
No matter what, they listen to me. So
she's very aggressive, and they get scared. So they're listening.
Yeah,
They're like
it's like the nun with the ruler.
She took a knife out.
Yeah,
and it'll happen.
And she had it at their throat.
My choice of weapon is a bat.
With nails coming out. With nails.
Yeah, it's kind
sawed off baseball bat. Yes.
There's a Walking Dead element.
Yeah.
Honestly, if there was a zombie apocalypse, find Eleanor.
Yeah. She's gonna run. All the weapons you need.
Yeah, you're gonna get by.
People are gonna be like, "So we're doing what now?" They're like, "Eleanor's running shit in Hollywood." Just everyone head to Hollywood.
Yeah, she's saving civilization.
Oh, don't say that. I'm going to let it go. I'll be the first one to be like, bye, guys. We're good. We're going to go. Enough.
We had a good run.
Let them eat you.
Yeah,
enjoy
we had
it.
A good run.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Feel good about yourself. Yeah. But I was thinking about that. Like, the main room, to me, like, was more of a showroom.
It feels like a road, like a club on the road.
It does.
It feels like if you're doing... Yeah, just like if you're headlining on the road.
Sure, like you feel like you have to perform in there.
Perform, yeah.
And she originally...
It's like Levity and Oxnard or something.
Yeah, or Brea. Like, yeah.
She opened, the owner, Mitzi Shore, opened it for wanting, like she wanted like the Don Rickles and she wanted the Buddy Hackett. She wanted the big names to come.
The Vegas names.
Yeah. That's what she originally wanted, but it would mess up their draw in Vegas. So she never really got that. But when you got the main room, well, now they pretty much... just make it fair and everybody gets to move around, but it was never like that.
Yeah.
You were a main room comic or an original room comic.
Yeah.
And your graduation was the main room comic.
Yeah.
Like it was.
Even when I got passed,
it was rare.
Yeah. Like Mitzi gave me a main room spot before she ever gave me an OR spot.
That means she really liked
you. And I mean, I was terrible. And I had like maybe 3 minutes and I had to like figure out a 15 minute set.
Yeah.
And I just remember being like, all right, so I can stretch these and then I'll throw in a couple impressions. Yeah. And I'm like, in my mind, doing it. And then I got here and everyone was like, why are you in the fucking main room? And I'm like, I honestly have no idea. This doesn't seem like a good idea at all. And she made me open. And then I sat there. And after like 4 or 5 minutes, I just was like, fuck, please turn that light on.
Oh my God.
And I remember just bombing through it and then being like, I've been up here for 20 minutes at least. And I'm like waiting and I'm looking. I'm just like, what the fuck is going on? And then at some point, I just hear from the back Argus.
Yeah.
The light's broken, Rich. Bring me up.
Rich. I love that. Oh,
Rich. I was just like, oh. Man, Argus Hamilton's here.
Yeah.
And I ran off stage just like, fuck.
Oh, my God. Rich.
It's the always.
I knew Rich. It was good.
Yeah.
And I did. I think I. He was like, you were up there for 26 minutes. And like, fuck, it felt like an hour of dying.
And you never want to. That was another thing. Like when you got past here, like you, if you were opening, you don't want to fuck with. You don't fuck up Argus's intro.
Of course,
no cursing.
Yeah, you gotta be careful.
Like if you got the opening spot, you can't curse.
And yeah.
Like, then why'd you give me the opening spot?
Yeah, I'm like, you fucking know me.
Comedy, right? I'm a degenerate.
Yeah, this is not.
Yeah, I stopped. I got it for a while, the opening spot, and then and Argus would be so nice, but then he was like, that's too much. So they stopped giving me the opening. Opening spot and I got pushed to the back. It was fine. At least I got it for a little while. But I wouldn't even work on my act. I would work on his intro.
Yeah.
Because I was so nervous.
Yeah.
And then bringing him up, I thought I was like, okay, I got it. I was like, oh, how'd my set go? I don't know, but I got Argus up good.
But you know what's so funny? I think for whatever reason, I like bringing up people, like giving a good intro for someone. Because I go,
absolutely.
I don't know, it sounds corny, but I'm like, yeah, it's fucking showbiz. These people paid a lot of money to come out and see you. So tell me what your credits are. I'd love to fucking say them. You got a podcast, I'll plug
up.
It.
Yeah, I like to get hyped up.
You know,
it does make it seem better.
It makes it seem better.
Yeah.
Like I always go, it's fucking show business. People paid money.
We don't have host here.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
So it's a little harder.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I noticed like at the Comedy Cellar, they always have host.
Yes, they
and
do.
They'll write your credits down
so
that the host can just look and go, oh, this person, oh, and here's some credits.
Yeah.
So awesome. They don't even have to ask you. You know, they already have them.
Yeah.
I think that's such a great idea.
If I bring someone, sometimes I'll look up. I'll just quickly Google them.
Oh, yes.
And then I'll just.
Yeah. That backfired for somebody a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
I think I brought up someone and I looked at the thing. It said they were on Mad TV. I brought it up and then they were like, I've never been on Mad TV. I'm like, well, the internet said you were.
Yeah, bring it up.
Yeah. Sorry.
Correct.
But it was like, I think it was Chris Spencer and... He created Real Husbands of Hollywood.
Yeah, Real Husbands of Hollywood with Kevin Hart's in it, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So Greg Fitzsimmons was bringing him up and he said he created The Real Housewives of Hollywood or something like that. But
something so far
it just,
from.
He did his act, his head got confused. Yeah. And then he just said, you're going to love him. He, you know, but he took the time to Google.
Yeah.
He just fucked that up.
Yeah, he just fucked that up.
And then, of course, the first 10 minutes, Chris was like, it was the husbands of Hollywood. And he just, like, and he's like, Kevin Hart, this one, that one. And he, I mean, he was having fun with
it. Course.
He wasn't mad. But it can, like, it was funny
to
watch.
It can backfire. Yeah,
it was funny to watch Greg Fitzsimmons fuck that up.
Yeah.
What a loser, honestly.
My loser friend, Greg.
Can we call him up right now and talk about what a loser he is to his face?
Le loser.
I one time did a show at the Improv Lab, and it was this fucking challenge show. And it was like a, that's what gets me mad. It was like, it was my buddy Brian Volkey and his friend Christian Piper. They were running a show, but it was a challenge show. So it's like, you do stand up, but they give you challenges from a bucket.
And, topics?
No, like whatever your challenge is. Like, for example, my challenge was do your set while playing the piano. And I just let me do stand up, but whatever. Right, they're my friends. Right. So I did it. And this was in the lab. And then Seinfeld was in the main, and then my buddy bumped into him in the hallway and said, hey, do you want to come and do a guest set on our show? And it was like a sold out show in the lab. And, you know, he walked in and he saw me playing the piano. I don't know how to play the piano. So I was just hitting keys and dirtying dirtiest jokes I could do.
Yeah.
And none of my material. And people were laughing, but I thought people were laughing because somehow in my head, I thought, wow, I'm being viscerally funny. I'm just being funny instead of saying funny things.
Right.
And then I just go, wow, this is a new step in my career.
Sure. It opened up something different for you.
But I didn't realize that people were laughing because they were looking at Seinfeld looked horrified. He looked horrified. And then I got off stage and I went, man, I just killed. Everybody was still laughing. And then my buddy, Ahmed Weinberg, and a few other comics came up to me. And then my buddy Brian, who was hosting, went up and said, hey, we have a special guest. Give it up for Jerry Seinfeld. And my face dropped. And I said, how much did he see of my set? They said, oh, everything. And as soon as he said everything, Jerry Seinfeld just went, and it makes me love him even more. He just went, oh, what did I just see? That was horrendous.
Oh,
he
was like, shit.
He goes, that was the most awful thing I've ever seen in my life. Was that guy trying?
My God.
But it just killed me. It made me think of that Seinfeld episode where George gets in the pool and it comes out.
Shrinkage!
It was cold.
It was cold.
I wanted to be like, Jerry, it was a challenge show. It was a challenge show.
Yeah. They're not going to make you do these topics like that, too.
Jerry, what's your challenge?
You can go up, but you're going to have to draw from the bucket.
Yeah, I wish they stuck to it and made him do a challenge.
I know, right?
That'd be hilarious, him playing a piano or doing something stupid. Man. Here's a flute for you, Jerry. Try to do this.
I wouldn't mind seeing that.
Yeah.
Seinfeld, I want you to see you do keyboard comedy.
Ooh, I like it.
I still think out of all my least favorite niche comedy styles, I think keyboard comedy is my least favorite. I find it to be the most annoying.
Oh,
I saw it recently, and I gotta say, we should just put an end to it.
like real props. I mean, I guess a keyboard is
if you have the gall to do prop comedy in 2024, I'm proud of you.
Yeah,
Vegas, and I wanted to go see Carrot Top, but it was sold out.
Dude. Oh, yeah. That's a bad motherfucker.
Yeah.
He worked his way in. He grandfathered himself into that
being
OG.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm saying you're showing up at the mics now to do 3 minutes out the bag. You're pulling out your things.
That's
dedication.
That is dedication.
And I would 100% support that person.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think I haven't seen like a young up and coming prop comedy.
You want to hear Buzz? Like, he's like a young Gallagher.
Yeah,
like, really?
He just got new faces.
Smarsh.
Oh man, refocused new faces to get the different styles of comedy.
That would be insane.
Bad news this year, we don't have 7 transgender comedians. Good news is we got a prop guy.
We got a puppet. Yeah. We got a puppet comic.
We're going the other way.
All the puppets are non-binary, so that's a good thing. We could work this out. God.
I haven't seen a puppet comic in a long time either. No. I don't know. Those are still around.
Like a new one?
No.
Yeah, because we used to joke. I think it was Freddie
Lockhart.
Willie
Tyler's going up tonight, by the way.
I hope so.
I'm serious.
Oh, shit.
I just got a text that says,
I love him. Do you know who that is?
No.
Willie Tyler and Lester?
I will text you when Willie is on. You're after him. And Kevin Christie just told me Willie Tyler and Lester are backstage talking by themselves.
Well, listen, I had them on the podcast.
Yeah.
And Willie put headphones on Lester.
Oh, this is like, you guys know who Otto and George is?
Of course.
Oh,
yeah.
I love Otto and George. R.I.P. But I heard stories about that too, how like, you know, Sometimes
he just treated it like it was he was real.
Yeah, like Otto would be reading the newspaper, but George would be like looking at it as well. Yeah. Move the head. And apparently, like they were like, is he doing a gimmick?
He's practicing?
Yeah, yeah. Just like,
yeah. You gotta get casual with
it. Yeah, you gotta get casual. It in there. Yeah. It's symbiotic.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I remember Sebastian Maniscalco, because I put the clip up and he took like a screenshot of it and he's like, really?
Yeah. Dude, but that's like he's like old school wrestling. Like
I love that.
Great commitment.
Yeah, you gotta keep it.
You gotta
going,
commit to the bit. Yeah,
commit.
So
I love that.
If you're gonna be on a podcast, you can't just have this limp puppet that you lay down on the table.
You bring that shit to life.
I'm with you. I feel you. I thought it was
We're
great.
We're doing podcast. Time to kill ourselves.
He told some jokes, Lester. It was great. But the thing Freddie Lockhart always says, I think it was Freddie Lockhart. He always said that Mitzi was like Noah. She had to have two of everything. Yeah. So we had like a prop guy who kind of moved on.
Okay.
And then they got another
Later,
one.
Later, Harry Basil. We got a Rusty Dooley now.
So yeah, they brought in Rusty Dooley. So Rusty Dooley, but he, you know, he was a little younger.
Yeah.
And he was doing more horror with it. So like I'd be waiting tables and Rusty would be behind me with a fucking machete. And I'm like, come on, man. Like a while I wouldn't go in the room because he was, he's doing Thriller and shit.
It was obviously, it was the Michael Jackson, Freddy Krueger hybrid bit.
It was fucking
There's a lot of crotch
but
grabbing with the dagger.
He'd come in the crowd, you know? And I'm like, hey, man.
Wow.
What are you doing? Like, I'm on my knees, like, putting drinks out. I'm like, you got a knife. Get the fuck away from me,
man. Drinks out, huh, Eleanor?
You know what I do on my knees, Rick. It's always drinks.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it was two of it. So Willie, Tyler, and Lester. And then we had Wild Willie Brown.
No, it was Willie Brown and Tyler.
No, see? Is that right? Something like that.
Woody. What's up in Woody? Woody,
it was
Willie,
definitely
Tyler.
Two guys that had puppets.
Two black guys with
so
puppets.
So if this guy was out of town.
Now I know who you're talking about with Lester. I know who
you're talking about. So if this guy's out of town, Mitzi had this guy to put up.
I
Does
love
that make
it.
Sense?
Yes,
the diversity.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Her main room was very diverse like that. That, man. You know, you'd have puppet acts. You'd have lounge acts.
She had the Mad Libs set up for the lineup where you just fill in like, all right, that's where I got to put. I need a fat
Janice
woman.
Hart. Yeah.
I love this.
Me too. Monica Gaines. They were all characters.
It seems like a twisted carnival house.
It was
like, you know,
exactly what it was.
Yeah. Like a circus MC comes out with a bear.
Get Argus out there with some tigers.
Yeah.
Do you know who Brian Holtzman is?
That
would be amazing.
I know who he is.
So Brian Holtzman, Mitzi always thought it was funny if he followed Tanya Lee Davis, who was the a little person.
Yes. Yeah.
And Tanya, hilarious, crushes. And Brian would have to go on after. He goes, what's next? The bearded woman? And he'd throw her chair that she had a stand on so the audience could see her.
That's so funny.
It was brutal, but Mitzi loved it. It's like a circus in here, huh?
I love that she was entertained.
She's like a wrestling coach. Yeah.
Her favorite thing was, like, if people had a beef, then they were going to follow each other.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I love that.
I just was talking about that when Paulie was on a couple weeks ago.
When I showed up, there's these comics, John Caparillo and Shema Tosh, that were a couple. Caparillo.
They were dating.
And so they were dating, and then they broke up, and then he started blowing up. And every time I'd come up here, I'd clock in, and I'd go look at the lineup, and I'd be like, oh, Mitzi put them after each other again.
Constant. She'd do it intentionally.
And Shema didn't give a fuck because she was just like, whatever. But it obviously
John was very sensitive.
And he was all like, he just signed this big deal with Fox. And like,
It hardens you.
Make him go after Shema.
It'll like humble him.
That's good. I love that.
Yeah. It was great.
I'd hate to go through it personally, but I love hearing about it.
Yeah, it's hilarious. But we were going through it as spectators, like watching it, waiting for.
I never had any good beef
fucking fist
when
fly.
She was making decisions.
No.
Yeah. She didn't. She wasn't doing the lineups when I got passed either. Adam was for the most part. Oh no, Tommy was. I'm sorry, Tommy took over, and then she was like kind of on her way.
On her way,
doing it as much. So
it would have been nice if they would have let me bring up Jimmy and Joey when I was feuding with Jimmy and Joey.
Do you know who they are?
No, Jimmy.
You're
and
Joey. So lucky.
Jimmy and Joey were a legendary comedy duo of the open mic. They ran an open mic.
But Mitzi passed them because she needed another duo.
She needed a comedy duo. and yeah. she was low.
She was
on
big
it,
on duos.
So, yeah.
They were Italian brothers.
Okay.
And they did straight Italian jokes like yeah. from the internet.
Yes.
Like hack.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like, why don't Italians like Jehovah's Witnesses?
Yeah.
No witnesses. And you're like, oh.
Don't laugh at that. Yeah. I'm kidding.
it's so bad.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know. I'm kidding.
She passed them, and then it literally was a like maybe 6 months before that, yeah. Mitzi passed me when I definitely didn't deserve it.
Yeah.
But I remember being like, oh, she still has it. Yeah. She just sees talent. And then she passed Jimmy and Joey, and I was like, this fucking lunatic. What is she doing?
I know.
But after a while, she got rid of
it. She watched them like twice. She passed them and then watched them again. And then she watched them one more time, and they bombed so hard in the OR. And she was like, they're never getting spots again. And we're like, yes.
That killed me.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it doesn't work like that
evil.
Anymore.
There were,
but great.
Yeah, there were people that were getting good stage time, and they'd be like, I deserve more.
Yeah.
And she'd be like, showcase again. And then she would just be like, you're not getting spots anymore.
I love that.
Unpassing.
Yeah.
That's so funny to me.
So when you came here, did you get a showcase immediately? Or
no. So, you know what's so funny? I came here around 2 to 3 years in, and I would come to the open mic, the Monday one,
mm-hmm.
when 100 people would sign up.
Yeah.
Sure.
You know, 100,
sure.
200 people would sign up. I'd occasionally get a spot, and, you know, I had a buddy that's been working here forever, Luke Schwartz.
Sure.
You guys know Luke?
I remember Schwartz posting the lineups where he's like, oh, cool, 220.
Yeah, he'd always do that. He goes, this is great.
Dick,
he would always say, more people should do comedy.
Yeah, we need more people in comedy.
Yeah. But I would come here, and then I'd get a good spot, and then... But also, my idea was also like, I can't get married to just being at one place.
Sure,
so
no,
I was
smart.
I was going doing every bar show I could, you know. I'd drive out to Fresno to do one nighters, and then I would still come here, and then you know, get a spot on the mic, you know, like every other month or so.
Right.
Get a spot on the mic.
Okay.
And then. It wasn't until much later where I was just like, I would find out what like produce shows there were in the belly room.
Smart.
And then I would just see like message when comics were still on Facebook, I would message and go, hey, here's my tape. I'd love to do your show or whatever, you know, like stuff like that. Cause I was just like, it also seemed like I didn't know either, you know?
Yeah.
And then I was just like, so I was just coming and like doing the mic and then getting any belly room show I can get, but also just going to like, trying to do as many shows around town and then doing mics. And I mean, sometimes I would just work stupidly in a way. You know, where I remember one night I did 5 open mics.
Okay.
And I just thought, man, I'm really doing it. And then I was like, I got nothing out of the last two.
That's what I'm saying. I used to do it all the time.
I got nothing out
did
of the last
Marty's?
Two.
Did you have Marty's? Did you get Marty's? Were you
I did a Marty's,
yep. Yeah, I love Marty's.
Marty's. I go everywhere.
I would be so excited. Before the night started, when I was on my way to the first mic, I would be like, dude, this is going to be great. I'm going to hit up these different spots.
This is the night.
And I'm telling you, by the end of the third or fourth open mic, I would be like, I'm never going to do comedy again. What am I thinking?
I just remember my kind of moment of clarity was like work smart, not hard, was I was at an open mic in Echo Park at this place called Tribal Cafe. And it literally, the blender goes off during your set most of the time.
Oh, yeah, constant.
And then I was talking to this guy, and he was like, he's told me he had done like 20 mics in last
one
week.
Night? Oh.
In last week.
I thought you meant one
no,
night.
No, like 20 mics in a week. And he was not funny. I had never seen him be funny. And I said, you know what? Maybe I should cool down. I got to find a way to work smart.
Yeah. I got to get out of Echo Park.
I'm over there with Smiley and Sad Girl. Yeah.
My people.
You ever seen Mi Vida Loca?
No. Oh, so
you gotta
good.
Watch it.
I used to watch it with Freddie Soto constantly and Corey. And I would talk like that for
the No Chola movie
forever.
From the 90s.
Okay.
About Echo
so
Park.
So good.
When Echo Park was.
When it was like
Echo Park. Well, that's why Freddie moved to, what's not Echo Park? I forget the name of it.
MacArthur Park.
No. On that side, like Eagle Rock.
Eagle Rock, Highland Park.
Highland Park.
Yeah, Highland Park.
He moved to Highland Park. And I was like, oh, how did you even find this place, right? Because I'm not LA. I stayed right where I stayed.
Yeah.
And then he ventured out because his wife was pregnant. So he was like, I got to find a better, you know, place for school.
Space, yeah.
So he moved to Highland Park.
Yeah.
And then he would go specifically Herman. Because the name of the town was Herman.
Yes, I know exactly where you're talking
because
about.
Because we were so obsessed with that movie. Like, we would just come up with all the little names, like, specifically.
How about two cholas, like Sad Girl and Mousy?
The best.
And they're fighting over a guy. They're both pregnant by the same guy.
Damn.
Real cult classic.
He's in jail.
This sounds like there's so drama and hijinks that ensues.
It's truly one of the best.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
But it's just the way they talk that I was like obsessed with.
Yeah.
And so me and Freddie would do it. Corey would do it too, but she wasn't good at the accent. She was too white. She was too white.
See, why does your Spanish accent have a French accent?
Ah, sugar. That's not how they say it.
No.
Did you start right away doing mics here?
I did mics in Kansas City before I moved to LA.
How long were you doing mics in Kansas City before you moved out here?
Like 2 years.
Oh.
I was in college. Great. And
you were like reasonable.
Yeah. I basically wanted to do comedy. I did. I started when I was a freshman in college. Okay. A buddy of mine went and did the open mic in Kansas City. And then he hit me up and he was like, dude, I just did comedy and I got third place. And I was like, dude, this dude's not funny.
I know.
And so I'm like, I could probably fucking win this thing.
Yeah.
And so then I went and I found out that basically the way it worked was they did crowd vote. And if you brought friends, you won.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
But, and I never invited anyone. I invited my girlfriend a couple times because I needed someone to film me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I was putting out that hot tape.
Right.
Of like that.
Doing the impressions.
Oh, man. I was doing the worst impressions.
Oh, you were doing impressions.
I was an impressionist. I was positive I was going to be on Saturday Night Live by 2005 or something.
Yeah.
And, I just didn't. It wasn't great.
So funny.
I moved out here. I did the impressions at the open mics here, and people were just looking at me like, what the fuck are you doing with this guy? And then the people here at the comedy store were just like, bro, you got to stop doing this bullshit.
I just like to imagine that you go, now, folks, for your next impression, I'm going to do this.
Turn around, and then you come back.
The Kevin Rook?
The Kevin Rook of turns.
We did have a guy that turned around.
Oh. And it was so good.
Wouldn't it be funny? I was thinking, would it be funny if Ozzy Osbourne and Yoda from Star Wars were singing country music songs together?
And then the crowd is just like, what?
Yeah.
Like, he did it. Yeah, he would do that. He would do the
whole
thing.
Wife left me, she did. Going to be painful.
he didn't have to turn around for it.
No,
it's only worth turning around if like, suddenly your face is green.
Or you could do, you know.
Just to turn around and then just straight back the way he had previously turned around.
Oh, my God. So fucking funny. We always call it the Kevin Rook.
He
would do the bit. And it would just be this weird, awkward thing. And then he would just go, thank you. And be like,
nicest guy in the world.
Nicest dude. And some of his impressions were flawless.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. But we couldn't get past the turnaround.
The turn, really.
It really makes it so beautifully awkward.
You know what's so funny is that
the head nod. You know it's going to be so good.
Well, what's so funny is that would kill now if you do it ironically.
Yeah.
Sure.
If you're making fun of the thing. But the sincerity of the earnestness of doing the
turn. And that's exactly what this guy would do, man.
Yeah.
He was great.
And then one day he was gone. I remember I hit him up on Facebook. I'm like, Where'd you go? Still doing comedy?
He's like, nah, my wife made us move back to Arkansas. I'm just a lawyer now. I'm like, what?
Just a lawyer now?
I'm raking in $300,000 a year.
Yeah. When he's presenting a case, he turns.
Yes.
Always to the
and
judge.
He comes back.
Now, gentlemen and ladies of the jury.
It's Arkansas, so he's trying to like get in good with them.
He does his impressions to them.
Well, what would it be like if Larry Hagman was here to present the case?
You're like, wait, he's doing J.R. Ewing references? Turns the music up. What?
I just looked up Arkansas recently because it made me laugh because
Because it's Arkansas?
Yes, because it's Arkansas, but for whatever reason, I Googled Austin, and then there's an Austin, Arkansas.
Oh, so shit.
It makes me, I jokingly would tell my friends that I'm moving to Austin, Arkansas, not,
nice.
Yeah, not yeah. Austin, Texas.
I'd respect it more.
You know, I'm gonna go kill it in that scene.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to bring that scene up.
Are you going to ride coattails or are you going to create the Austin, Arkansas
scene? Yeah, I'm creating the Austin, Arkansas shit, scene. Man.
Yeah.
I love it. I was spoiled coming here because I worked here as a waitress so long that when I started, I would go to like Marty's and go to the other places.
Yeah.
But I asked Mitzi if it was okay if I went on in the belly room.
Oh yeah.
First, and then she was like, "Oh, okay," and I did it. And then it took me so long to get the courage to walk in the OR and
really?
Do the open mic. And they were like, "We'll put you on the friends and family." I'm like,
Give it
another couple weeks.
And it's that level of respect that's gotten you nowhere.
Absolutely nowhere.
Start taking advantage of people.
At all.
I know.
And don't be nice to anybody in this business. Don't be. You got to be an asshole. You got to fucking.
Listen, I did that. I tried being an asshole. That didn't work either, Eleanor.
Okay, we're opposite ends because I'm too nice and Rick's too mean. So somewhere in the middle is Chris.
Yeah. Oh,
figure it out.
Like you're like a nice.
Yeah.
But you could be cutthroat, right?
I don't know. No, I always put myself in situations.
I've never seen him be mean.
I'm always fucking in situations where somebody's like, "Hey, you want to do my show, my bar show?"
Yeah.
And I'm like, "All right." And then I go, and it's actually at a billiards hall, and it's 25 people. It's like 25 tables. And I'm like, "There's not a bar show."
Yeah.
It's like, not.
Instantly, that happened to me like last year. Some guy, sweet guy, was like, "Hey, you want to?" And I've known him since I started. And I said, "Yeah, sure." And I went, and then it was so bad. We were interrupting their night because, you know, it's a billiards hall.
Sure.
It's not a bar.
Yeah.
Like, they have beer and wine, but they didn't have an alcohol, like spirits or anything.
You're messing up their shots.
It was so bad that I just started riffing about how much they must hate us.
Yeah.
And that's what they reacted to the most. They said, we do.
Finally.
But I just remember I felt mean because later I saw that guy like a week later and I said, "Hey, man, I just want to say you should not be running that show at a billiards
Absolutely.
Tour. I go, "These people, we are ruining their night. Like, you're ruining their night." I go,
"That's how I always
We
felt.
Did the
Every
bowling alley.
Show.
Remember the bowling alley? Lucky Strike? Brutal.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you're trying to get laughs or whatever. Right on your punchline, people are cheering because they got a strike. You're like,
with
fuck.
With the bumpers up. You're cheering with the bumpers up. It's time for everyone in that bowling alley to die.
I remember sitting there with Oshak, and he's like, "I got to quit comedy."
Did he? He did.
He officially
comedy,
did yeah. now, I believe. But back then, he was ready.
Yeah.
Even more so.
I had to host one time, and I'm not a good host, but one time I did some gig in San Diego a few years ago, and they were like, "It's for a music festival." And they put a bunch of comics on a boat to do comedy.
Hilarious.
Which is great. And that turned out to be a lot of fun, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
And they put me on the Latin stage to host in between reggaeton acts. And then I went up and they go,
Makes sense.
So you're going to, I go, "So am I going to do stand-up?" They go, "Whatever you want, just host in between." And then I go, "So do you want me to do it in English or Spanish?" And he goes, "Both." And then I just went,
"Both."
I go, "I'll just riff." I just remember I just started joking with the crowd and I go, "How disappointed are you guys that I'm not fluffy?" And then they were just like, those were my laughs.
Oh my God. Fluffy.
Yeah.
When I first started, it was predominantly Latino comics here.
Yeah, was it?
It was Fluffy. It was Gabriel Felipe.
Oh yeah, they both
Carlos
worked
Mencia.
Here apparently,
yeah.
right? Yeah,
Carlos. I don't know if Gabriel did. Felipe.
I heard
May.
He might have worked here for like a
I think Felipe did like a day or something.
A day, but they definitely got passed.
Yes, that's right.
And so it was those. It was all those guys. Freddie Soto. I'm trying to think of who the other girls, Kim Tavares. It was just, it felt
there was a
like
woman
so
here
many...
who I saw when I was years before.
Oh, Marilyn Martinez.
Marilyn, that's who I'm talking about.
Yeah, she was
Marilyn.
Great.
Dude,
Filthy.
The best.
I loved her. I came here to see her.
She was
the
great.
Best.
She was so funny.
R.I.P., man.
So there was this Latin Queens of Comedy thing that came out, and she was on it.
Yeah.
And I was like, "This lady's fucking hilarious.
And one of the best Latin Queens.
And then I found out that she performed here. So I remember coming here to see her. And she was just like dirty as shit, just really
one
funny.
Of the greatest.
So
nice.
Just like small kind of Mexican lady.
Sure.
Yeah, she was like 4'3", wide and tall.
What are you
going to
give up? What are you going to give up for Lent this year? I'm not giving up chocolate again. I can't do it.
She was great. Her
and
husband
I, every
was
late,
so nice.
Every late, David, terrific. David. Yeah. Would, yeah, she was, that's husband. What I'm saying. They were here every night.
Yeah, she was very funny.
It was constantly.
I always had weed back then. There weren't weed shops everywhere. Yeah. And he would roll in and be like, "You got the good shit?" And be like, "Yeah." And he'd be like, "Roll it up." And I'd be like, "All right." So I'd roll it up. And then I'd be like, "Want to smoke?" And be like, "I can't smoke that good shit." I'd be like, "Why the fuck did you tell me to roll this up?"
Hilarious.
But every night, "Hey, man, I might take a couple puffs tonight." He never would.
Never.
Wow.
But she was great. Marilyn.
Yeah, I specifically remember her. I remember seeing her on that. I remember coming to see her here.
Yeah. In the main room. She was always, she was one of Mitzi's favorite.
To pieces, yep. Man.
Yeah.
Crowd work queen before.
Easily. Yeah,
popular.
Easily. And she, I mean, her phone sex bit was like one of my favorites. Oh, like you call and get
visual.
Her.
She did it on that Latin. Yeah. That's so funny.
That's my pussy. I spill my Pepsi on my cat. That's so stupid.
Yeah, she was great. But I remember coming here for that. Coming here to see her and whatnot.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It felt like it was, you know, I mean, it's always, you always get great comics. Like, it was always the best of whatever. Yeah. So I remember people were like, "Oh, the Comedy Store's racist." And I'm like, there might be one guy here that was a little racist, but he's a piece of shit. We understand that, but it was never.
It's not just
hey,
about
Tommy,
that,
I didn't know
okay?
you were here. What's happening?
It's not racism as long as it's about all the races.
Wait,
okay?
That's inappropriate. That's not right. I can't be real. Yeah, he was like that. Like, but I was thinking, I was like, all our lineups were insanely diverse because Mitzi loved what she loved.
Yeah,
and that was it.
Of
if you were funny, that was it. But she would get in on like, okay, I'm into Latinos or I'm into. And then she would do
the
theme
Eastern
nights.
Guys.
Yeah, for a long time she would do Arabian Nights.
That's great.
Just putting it on the market.
It was, you know, when nobody, so racist sounding. It was great.
You know, I always tell this story to people that work here and they never know that it happened, but you guys must know. I when I tell people that work here, like new people, I found this out. So famously, Tupac got into a fight here at the Comedy Store with him and Tretch by Naughty by Nature.
Yeah.
They got into a fight with a bunch of Crips.
I think Eleanor was working.
Absolutely.
You were here that
night. And I had a drink. He had just gotten out of jail.
Yeah.
And this was, not Tupac, Naughty by Nature. Tretch.
This was, what, 94 maybe, 93?
I might go a little higher
95
than that.
Then, right?
4 or 5, somewhere around there.
Yeah, famously.
Because what happened was I brought him a Moe, you know, or...
Oh my God, I can't believe you're working.
Oh yeah.
And
as soon as he said
this,
I'm like,
is a wild
I think Eleanor
part.
Was here
I tell
for this.
People about this, that work here, and they don't know about it.
So insane.
Yeah.
When Tupac got out of jail, we had his party in the Belly Room.
So
although they would come every Tuesday for Fat Tuesday.
Yeah, that's right.
And so...
I saw that in the Fat Tuesday documentary.
Yeah, the best. Yeah. And so I bring out Moe. We have to open it in the back, right?
Yeah.
We can't open it in the showroom because the fucking court could shoot somebody or it, you know...
Yeah.
So I bring it out and he goes, "Who opened that?" And I go, "I did." And he goes, "I'm not drinking that. I got to see you open it." Because he thought it was poison or something. Dude. And then he goes, "You got to drink it." "I don't fucking drink."
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay. So now I'm like, drink it. It might even have been not Cristal. What's the other one that was Dom? Because we had Moe or Dom. It might have been either one of those. Yeah. So I had a pour and I was just like, oh, it tastes like fucking shit. I hate champagne. And I'm just like, and he's like, nah, something's fucked up about it. And I'm like, how am I going to bring this back?
Yeah, this
and
bottle.
I already drank
the
some.
The Comedy Store would have just... squeeze that cork back in. Whoever's in next. pour some Sprite in there. Let's seal this thing back up.
But yeah, that fight broke out, and then they went into the street. Tupac, they kind of dispersed. Yeah. It was their people, their guys.
Yeah.
So they went out straight into front, like House of Blues was there.
Yeah.
So it was like either almost built or fully built. That's why I say it's 95.
But what room was it?
Main room.
It was main room though.
So they were out in front of the main room. This was one side, this was the other side, and they were shooting like old westerns at each other.
Yeah.
It was insane. And the waitresses, they were like, get in the office, get in the office. And I remember we all get in the office, and there was one girl, Helen, that she was like, hey, I didn't get my change from this girl. Yeah. And I'm like, go in the office, I'll get your change. And so I went out to get, I go, hey, you didn't give her her, you know, give her money back, whatever. Yeah. You didn't give her her, she gave you too much money or whatever. Yeah. And the girl goes, I don't care. And she just, and I was like, bitch, don't. And I got in this girl's face, and I'm like, now there's going to be a fight inside, right?
Now we're going to fucking
squabble. So then we go back out, and or she didn't give me enough money, something like that. She owed her like six something. And so I got it, and I
got to run. I'll be back.
I got it, and I went back in the office. Everybody's in the office. Mitzi was here that night.
Yeah.
She's in the office. They're shooting outside at each other.
Insane.
Right? Suzanne Suter was on the stage in the OR. We couldn't get her off. And so we go... I go in the office, and because Mitzi wanted all the money in the office, like whatever. She didn't know what was going to happen. And so we're sitting in the office. She goes, go there, go outside and get me a cognac. And I'm like, they're fucking shooting, bitch. Yes. And she goes, aren't you the one with all the weapons? So I had to go. And I'm like, just looking and getting a cognac.
Oh my God.
Well, it was crazy. I was here for a couple of those. There was a couple because we have Monday nights too.
Yes, that's right. That Tupac one is famous.
Yeah.
Him and Tretch get into a fight here with a bunch of other gang members.
Like, yeah.
That's a real famous one that like floats around on the internet. People talk
absolutely.
About it.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. And there was one. This was when it was Mondays with Eddie Griffin.
Yeah.
Eddie Griffin had shows in every room.
Yeah.
And it was every room was black. It was fine. Yeah. It was like just black comedy.
Yeah,
great.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. But, and this was the time, this was before, like, because at a point.
Slight gangbangery.
Yeah, but this was, Eddie used to open for Andrew Dice Clay, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
He'll tell you Eddie, Andrew's his godfather, but which Andrew loves, but he's like, yeah, he's my nephew or whatever you want to say, you know, but he's Jewish. So he's I don't know.
I just love that.
I don't know what that godfather thing means, but I don't know what I have to do.
I love that that was his opener. I just love that.
He took him, his first time he took him out was like to Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And Eddie, he goes, just show up tomorrow because he saw him on stage here. Yeah. He goes, this guy's great. He goes, just show up here and we'll take you to the airport and everything. I have a car and everything. And Eddie had like a bag and he's like, what's that? He goes, this is my clothes. He goes, we're going to Philly. It's like 4 degrees. You know, he's from Kansas City. Yeah. Like he just didn't have, he came out here with nothing.
Yeah.
And so, Andrew, the first stop they made in Philadelphia was to buy him like pants, like winter clothes and shit. They had the most fun. It's one of his favorite openers. He always gives Eddie mad respect.
That's great.
Because he would crush.
Yeah. And Norton was one of his openers.
Jim
too.
Norton.
Yeah.
Yep. Me.
Yeah.
Sebastian. Was there another? Patty Ross used to do it a little bit. I'm trying to think of other women that did it.
Yeah.
Andrew tried, Lenny Clark. Wow. I don't know if you know who that is.
Yeah, from Boston.
Okay, so Lenny got booed off stage. It was a big venue he was opening for him, and they weren't going to listen.
Mm-hmm.
They just want to Andrew. When you come out, they just start booing.
Yeah.
So there's a famous story of Lenny sitting on the stool, clipping his toenails.
Oh, that's
great. He's like,
great.
You're not going to listen anyway, so I don't give a fuck.
God, I love that.
With that
that's
fucking
hilarious.
Boston accent where he's like, fuck you, motherfuckers, cocksuckers.
Okay. Yeah.
And he's just clipping his toenails like a psycho.
Oh, my God.
The best.
That's so funny.
The absolute best. But yeah, I remember Eddie's night. We had this girl, a blonde girl that worked here, Gabrielle, beautiful. Yeah. And she looked like Cameron Diaz, like a hot version of Cameron Diaz.
Yeah.
Sorry, Cameron, but she's hotter.
Yeah.
And so they used to call her Susie Chapstick,
okay,
the black guy. So she was like, whatever. And she didn't care. She grew up out here, so she didn't care. And she was just like, so they go, hey, Susie, send this guy a drink.
Mm-hmm.
And say it's from blah, blah, blah. So she did. And they were rival gangs.
Oh.
And in the original room, she put the drink down and said, blah, blah, blah. From blah, blah, blah. You know, whatever.
Yeah.
This is from so-and-so. And it was like the room just erupted and they went at each other.
Crazy.
And I was like, oh, shit. And then like somebody took the metal ashtray off and threw it at Gabrielle. I was like, she didn't fucking do anything. Uh-huh. You know, I was like, shit, how's she supposed to? Oh, it was so many fights in here. I was constantly arguing with people.
Hilarious. Yeah.
Because I don't care. I'm not, you know, I'm not intimidated.
Yeah.
Fuck who you are.
Yeah. But
I know how to fight, bitch. I'm just kidding.
That just cracks me up though. I love that story because I've been telling people that story.
Yeah.
Because I know it from just over the years, I've heard people talk about it and I see it talked about on the internet. Mm-hmm. And everybody's like, I'm like, look it up. But now I can tell them, like,
oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, I'll tell them Eleanor was working that night.
I had to drink your champagne, you piece of shit.
I love that.
I was so mad because I don't like champagne.
Yeah. Whatever. It tastes like shit.
We're going to wrap.
Okay, we're going to wrap. But okay, so this fool.
Yeah, this fool.
Season, two seasons.
Two seasons. We're waiting to hear if we're waiting to hear if we're going to get a season three. They're going to tell us like next month.
It's got to be. It's got to happen because it's so good.
Thank you. I appreciate
that. It's really good. Like for somebody saying, I taught myself how to write.
Yeah.
I taught myself this. I taught myself that.
Oh, thank you.
It's written so fucking well.
That really means the world.
It really is. And I mean, I didn't, I initially watched it because Jamar.
Oh, we love, Jamar Neighbors is in it.
Boo. Yeah.
I love. I mean, he's
obsessed.
He's a brilliant. Brilliant maniac.
He really is.
Yeah.
And so when I saw he was in it, I was like, oh,
yeah,
this is so great. And that's initially why I started watching it. No offense.
No,
and then I was like, I fell in love with you on there. I was like, I fell in love with all the characters. Yeah. I was like, this is great. This is written so well.
Thank you.
So,
no.
Yeah.
I'm glad if Jamar brought you to it, I love it because we love Jamar.
Yeah, yeah. He's so good. And even in season two, he even popped a little more. I was like,
We wanted him to pop more in season two and give him more stuff because he's such a talent.
He certainly is. And so are you.
Oh, thank you.
So we are grateful to have you here at the Comedy Store now.
Thank you.
And where can people find you?
They can find me on Instagram.
Don't give them your address.
No. At Chris Estrada Comic. And then on Twitter at Chris Estrada 85.
Great.
Yeah.
Excellent.
There you go. Thanks, Eleanor.
Thank you so much for coming.
You're awesome.
And check out this full. It's on Hulu, right?
On Hulu.
Hulu. Check it out. It's so good. You guys will not love it. Trust me. And like, subscribe, do all that shit. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Lee. Fuck Rick. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Too good.